Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hello. We'll start in about 30 seconds.
Okay.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoah. Anabakoah, Gedulat Shemincha, Tatir, Terura, Aleph Bet Gimel, Yud Tav Tzadi, Kabel Rinat, Amcha Sagveinu, Aharenu, Nora, Ufre Shayan, Sintet Nun, Nagibor, Dorshe Yehudcha, Kivavat, Shamlem, Nun Gimel Dalet, Yudkaf Shin, Barhem Tacharem, Rachame Sidkatcha, Dami, Damlem, Betet Resh, Tzadi Taf Gimel. The letters of the month of Av. The Kaf that created the planet Shemesh, also known as Chama. This is the sun. And the Tet that created the constellation Aries, the lion, the astrological sign of Leo. Chasin Kadosh, Berov Tuvcha, Na'el Adata, Tet Kuf Bet, Tet Nunayan. Yahid Geya, Lamcha Pene, Zokre Kiddushatach, Yud Gimel Lamed, Pei Zayin Kuf. Shavatenu Kabel, Ushmatia Katenu, Yodea Talumot, Shin Kufav, Tzadi Yud Tav. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation. We will utilize the 13 attributes of mercy for this purpose. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, Erachum V'chanun, Erech Apayim, V'ral Chesed Be'ermet, Nose Chesed La'alafim, Nose Avon Wafesha, V'chata'a V'nakei. Well, we're now going to study two verses from the Tanakh that connect us to the year 5777, our current year known as the Year of the Goat. The first verse that we will study is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52, which we will be reading in our Torah lessons and our Torah services tomorrow evening as part of the Tisha B'Av process. And we'll start with a L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud, Kud Shabarichu, Ishkin Te'edud Hilu, Earthy mood, he loo, earthy mood. Liach alishem yud hey bavav hey. Bihudashalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. Lasok Torah mitzvah. Vayhino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh yadeinu koronei aleinu maaseh yadeinu koroneihu. Sod saduni tatzipor oyevayichinam. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to create the phrase tzatzki af, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters of these words, we're able to create the phrase Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of tumults. The next verse we study is from Joshua. It's chapter 23, verse 8. In this verse, the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion, is concealed. The letters of the name of this verse year are separated by seven letters each. Kim ba Adonai Yohewahe Elohechem Tadebaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. The year 5776 also has two verses that we study. The year 5776 is known as the year of the pause. The first verse we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Rak ha-kohanim ha-yu limat ve-lo yachlu le-ha-shit et kol ha-olot v'yechaskum achechem. Alevim, ad kelo tam lacha, yad yitkachu hakohanim, ki alevim yishrei levav, lehitkadesh me hakohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of these words, we're able to permute them into eight names of God. Adonai Yohewahe, Larahe, Wawawa, Yolayo Alame, Hey, 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 Aka'a, Rechacha. The second verse we study connecting to the year of the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Ikhu ba Adonai Yohewahe Ade ad kibia Yohe Adonai Yohewahe Tzur Olamim. The next year, the year 5775, it has the energy of swallowing death forever, has three verses that connect to this energy from the Tanakh. The first that we study is Job chapter 7, verse 19.
Kamalo tishe mimeni lo tarpeni adili ruki.
The second verse we study connecting to this year, this energy of swallowing death forever, is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23.
Uru, udu, mikol hamachavoyim, asher yitchabe sham v'shavtem, elai el nachom, v'halachti itchem.
And the third verse is also from Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetza yoved ro'av yom ru'ayom. Year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There is only one verse that connects to this energy in the Tanakh.
Bend down and line it up this way.
Wasam ti makom le'amil Yisrael unta ti v'shakan. Tach tal v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosivu. We're now going to read a verse from the Zohar, from Parashat Yitro, Pasuk 29, that has the energy of certainty. Rabbi Abamar, the Kamatar, Tane Nan de Kucha. Parihu koma diaved leila witata kola ihu kishot biovada dikshot veleilach mila bialma divae barnash vedach yaleya mineya ulan haga veya kulana. The Akulu Ovada Dikshot Inun Wikola Itzderich Be Alma. We're now going to connect to the 72 names of God by scanning the chart of that of those 72 names. So please start. And with respect to the 72 names from the Tzaddikim, we will say them out loud, using the root vowel for each letter. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a me me be shi la yo he anu a ka me ta pe he he yo anu da la he we la he wa he me a Yotzala me re he, hey yo yo, hey me me, la wa wa ka be yo, la yo wa pa, pe nu la nu me ha yo he yo, me nu he 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 wa, nu yo he he shi ya. Yo re ta shi a he, re la yo a wa me, la yo be wa he re, yo yo wa la he he, ka a ko me nu da, anu yo he wa me, re he a yo he za, he shi a he me ka ha. Wa wa la yo yo hey, sa a la a re yo, ha a la me ta hey, wa hey wa da la yo, hey yo shi a la me, nu hey a nu wa ta, me la hey pe a yo, nu ko me yo re la. Hey be hey me za re, wa hey be yo wa hey, a la wa me za yo, da hey be me ka ko, a la a hey 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 wa,
re la he yo yo me, he la yo me he me. The names of the tzaddikim who chose to leave this day, the seventh day of Av: Rabbi Pinchas of Sokolivka, Rabbi Shalom Noach ben Rabbi Moshe Avraham Brzezinski, and Rabbi Moshe Greenwald of Trust, Rabbi Simcha Bunim Ehrenfeld of Mattersdorf. And there is a person just known as Rabbi Moshe who left this day. We also normally say the Tzaddikim who leaves Sunday night and Monday because we don't normally have classes on those days. Rabbi Simcha Zissel Shiv of Kelm, Rabbi Menucha Mika Alov, and Rabbi Yom Tov De Nun. And the eighth verse of the Anna B'Koach we say in a whisper. Today's class is preparation for Tisha B'Av. You will find the handout in the unique astrological links, or in the unique astrological times link that appears on the every Yeshem webpage underneath the two pictures that are on the right, or if you're using a mobile phone or a tablet, you may find the link at the bottom of the page. When you open the unique astrological link, times link, you find a page, and one of the earlier links on the page states preparation for Elul and Tishrei holidays. Please make a note of this link as we will be using these quite a bit as we go into the further preparation for Rosh Hashanah and the 22 days of holidays associated with the month of Tishrei. But click on the link for preparation for Elul and Tishrei holidays. And that opens up to a landing page. And the first link under the word handouts is preparation for Tisha B'Av, the ninth day of Av. And that will be our class today. Please open that link. Does anyone have any questions before I start? Tuesday, Monday night and Tuesday is Tisha B'Av.
Hanok, I don't see it.
Jasmine, what page are you on?
I'm on the astrological time, and I went all the way down.
You don't go all the way
the
down. It's at the top. Go to the top.
Unique astrological times.
And then there are some links. There's some words. And then you get to some links. And then there's, in bold, it says preparation for Elul and Tishrei holidays.
Oh, I got it.
Do you see that?
I see
you got
that
it
one.
Now?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So open up that link.
Okay.
Then on that link, the first link underneath the word handouts is preparation for Tisha B'Av, ninth day of Av. Open that link, and that is where we are studying today.
I got it. Thank you.
Monday night and Tuesday is Tisha B'Av. Well, what does that really mean? Tisha B'Av translates as the ninth day of Av. But every month has a ninth day. To understand the ninth of something, one must understand the something. What is Av? Av is the fifth Hebrew month, counting from Nisan. It is the 11th Hebrew month, counting from Rosh Hashanah. And we will discuss both of these aspects below. Initially, it is important to have a concept of the meaning and energy of the month of Av. And we did discuss this extensively on our Rosh Chodesh connection last week. As discussed on the blog, the number 5 relates to the Sefirah of Hod. When counting from Chesed, which is the highest of the 7 lower Sefirot, Hod, which translates as beauty, is the essential energy of appreciation and thankfulness. Hod also relates to the idea of spiritual manifestation or malchut, of the spiritual frame. This is showing us all of the energy of a spiritual concept without being limited by the physical world of illusion.
Right.
The energy of 11 is connected both to the incense on the positive side and the negative tree on the negative side. Actually, they are both unified, although it is very difficult to accept and perceive this truth. I'm getting some background noises, so I'd appreciate it if everyone would mute their phones by pressing *6. If you want to ask a question during the class, please feel free to do so. You just would need to press *6 a second time, and then you would be able to be heard. There are 11 components to the incense. The Hebrew word ketoret, which translates as incense, comes from the shoresh, or the root meaning, to get close. Why are there 11 components of the incense? To show the complete structure of the 10 Sefirot, plus the negative system as the 11th component. On the negative tree, there are 11 aspects as well. The 10 negative Sefirot, plus the spark of light that is caught in the Klipot, or the negative system. I hope you see the similarity. If not, ask a question. Now that we have some connection to the month of Av, or I should say to the duality energy, the dual energy of the month of Av, let us look at the meaning of the ninth day. 9 connects to the Sefirah of wisdom, or Chachmah, when we count up from the bottom, and the Sefirah of Yesod when we count down from Keter. Yesod is thought of as the sexual parts and also the support structure that is similar to the spine in the body. Actually, the root of Yesod is creativity. And I guess somebody didn't hear me because I'm still getting some background noises. So I unfortunately have to mute everyone from my controls. But again, if you want to ask a question, you will be able to do so by pressing *6. Thank you.
as I was saying, actually the root of Yesod is creativity. The male sexual organ has two components, the crown and the stem. The male sexual organ also demonstrates this duality by bringing forth the highest revelation of light, the ability to bring forth a child by issuing sperm, and the lowest by spewing forth waste products, which we call urine. Internally, these are two different systems, yet they issue forth from the same orifice. This is the energy of Yesod. One of our tasks is to unify these two different essences in our lives. This day of Tisha B'Av is one of these opportunities during the year to do this. The history. According to Kabbalah, every day of the lunar year has a specific energy, a specific angel, and a specific negative mitzvah. The purpose of this angel is to incite people to actually do this negative mitzvah. The effect of this is to transfer the energy that the human could have received for not doing this mitzvah to the angel. This is his motivation for causing you to do this negative action. The mitzvah that is involved with the ninth of Av is the mitzvah of do not do to others what you do not want done to yourself. Of course, this is the negative of the positive mitzvah of the ahavta l'reacha kamocha, love your neighbor as yourself. The angel who receives the energy when he is successful in having you do something to another person that you would not want to have done to you is the Satan. Please note that almost everything comes under this set of conditions. As an example, there are people who would not want you to pray during a day, since they want you to do something else with them. Thus, praying comes under this do not do mitzvah. Studying is also under this do not do mitzvah, since sometimes someone wants you to do something with them while you are studying. If one thinks about this, every action that someone does at any time, there is always a connection to this do not do to someone else what you do not want done to you. This is one of the reasons that the five major restrictions are recommended by the Kabbalists to apply to this day. What are these five restrictions? Do not eat or drink. Why are we afflicting ourselves with this restriction? Don't we want all of our neighbors to eat and enjoy their food during this day? The answer is yes, we do, except that I may want them to play at the moment that they are wanting to eat. That is why we are told to fast. The energy from these meals will go to the Satan as part of the spiritual system described above. Of course, that is why we do not eat that day, to deny Satan any energy from any action of eating. Do not have sexual intimacy during this day. Why not? We do not want our neighbor to enjoy his sexual intimacy. Of course we do, yet there are times when the other partner is not in the mood. Thus, the energy from this action would go to Satan this day. To avoid this, we avoid sexual intimacy this day. Do not wash your bodies. This is something that gives pleasure to the body. Any form of pleasure is causing the energy to go to the satan. Thus, we avoid this action. Of course, we wish pleasure to all people, yet there can be times when we do not wish pleasure that is not earned by the person. Do not perfume or oil your bodies. This is again giving pleasure to the body and also the sense of smell. The fifth restriction is do not wear leather shoes. Many people have great difficulty understanding this restriction. Leather comes from a cow. The skin of a cow has a large desire to receive. We do not want to strengthen the desire to receive on this day, since that will give additional energy to Satan. That is the reason for this restriction. There are additional customs. Torah study is forbidden on Tisha B'Av, as it is considered a spiritually enjoyable activity, except for the study of distressing texts, such as the Book of Lamentations, the Book of Job, portions of Jeremiah, and chapters of the Talmud that discuss the laws of mourning. In a synagogue prior to the commencement of the evening services, the parochet, the curtain, is removed or drawn aside, lasting until after the fast. The parochet is the curtain or screen that normally covers and adorns the Aron HaKodesh, containing the Sifrei Torah. This is to symbolize the revelation of the Mashiach, as the 9th of Av is his birthday. According to the Rima, it is customary to sit on low stools or on the floor, as is done during Shiva, from the meal immediately before the fast, called the Suda HaMakseket, until noon of the 9th of Av. It is customary to eat a hard-boiled egg and also a piece of bread dipped into ashes during this meal. The Beit Yosef rules that the custom extends until one prays mincha, the afternoon prayer. The sitting on the floor is to ground the energy of the desire to receive for oneself alone. The non-Kabbalistic explanation is we are in mourning, and that is a sufficient reason to do this. If possible, work is avoided during this period. Electric lighting may be turned off or dimmed, and keynote recited by candlelight. Some sleep on the floor or modify their normal sleeping routine. By sleeping without a pillow, for instance, people refrain from greeting each other or sending gifts on this day. Old prayer books and Torah scrolls are often buried on this day. The custom is to put on tefillin for the morning services, for Shachrit of Tisha B'Av, and not a talit, rather only wear the personal talit katan without a blessing. At mincha services, tzitzit and tefillin are worn with proper blessings prior to donning them. The Kabbalists who view this day as a day of celebration do wear the talit and the tefillin as on a normal day. The end of the fast. Although the fast ends at nightfall, according to tradition, the temple continued burning throughout the night and for most of the following day, the 10th of Av, It is therefore customary to refrain from eating meat, drinking wine, bathing, cutting hair, doing laundry, listening to music, making a Shehianu blessing until the midday, the Chatzot of the following day, which this year would be Wednesday. When Tisha B'Av begins on Saturday night, which it does not do this year, so I will skip this paragraph. Actually, the two paragraphs. Changes in the services. The scroll of Echa, Lamentations, is read in synagogue during the evening services. Some also read it in the next morning. This scroll is a prophecy by Jeremiah of the coming destruction of the temple and of the city of Jerusalem. In addition, most of the morning is spent chanting or reading keynote. Most bewailing the loss of the temples and the subsequent persecutions, but many others referring to post-exile disasters. These later keynote were composed by various poets, often prominent rabbis, who had either suffered in the events mentioned or received reports. Important keynote were composed by Elazar HaKalir and Rabbi Yudah Halevi. After the Holocaust, keynote were composed by the German-born Rabbi Shimon Schwab, who was requested by Rabbi Yosef Brewer to do this, and by Rabbi Solomon Halberstam, who's the leader of the Bovov Hasidim. Since Israel's unilateral disengagement from Gaza, some right-wing segments of the religious Zionist community have begun to recite keynote to commemorate the expulsion of Jewish settlers from Gush Katif on the northern West Bank on the day after Tisha B'Av. In many Sephardic congregations, the Book of Job is read on the morning of Tisha B'Av. As the Mincha service, Ashkenazim add a paragraph that begins, Nachem, to the conclusion of the blessing, Boneh Yerushalayim, who builds Jerusalem, reciting during the Amidah. The prayer elaborates the mournful state of the temple in Jerusalem. The concluding signature of the blessing is also extended to say, Blessed are you, O Lord, who consoles Zion and builds Jerusalem. Various modern Orthodox rabbis have proposed amending Nachem as its wording no longer reflects the existence of a rebuilt Jerusalem under Israeli sovereignty. Chief Rabbi Shlomo Goren, for example, issued a revised wording of the prayer, and Rabbi Chaim David Halevi proposed putting the prayer's verbs relating to the temple's destruction into the past tense. However, such proposals have not been widely adopted. I include the above comments so that you begin to realize that Jewish prayer is not static, but designed to change over time to reflect the consciousness of the generation. This is not well understood by the teachings of the religious community. The history of this specific day. This day is and was the most intense positive energy day of the year, or it was supposed to be. This is when the spies, or the tourists, sent by Moses return from the spying of the land. they reported Lashon Hara, evil speech, instead of reporting a happy, positive review of the land. Yet that was not the full extent of the problem that happened that day. The true problem was that the people allowed themselves to be persuaded to accept this Lashon Hara. That caused the energy of the day to be transformed from positive to negative. So throughout history, negative things happen on this day. And here are some examples. According to the Mishnah, which is the Talmud, five specific events occurred on the 9th of Av that warrant fasting. Number one, the 12 spies sent by Moses to observe the land of Canaan returned from their mission. Only two of the tourists, Joshua and Caleb, brought a positive report, while the others spoke disparagingly about the land. The majority report caused the children of Israel to cry, to panic, and to despair of ever entering the promised land. For this they were punished by Hashem, that their generation would not enter the land. Because of the Israelites' lack of faith, Hashem decreed that for all generations, this date would become one of crying and misfortune for their descendants. The second event. The first temple built by King Solomon in the kingdom of Judah was destroyed by the Babylonians, led by Nebuchadnezzar, in 586 BCE. After the siege in 587, and the Judeans were sent into Babylonian exile. The third event. The second temple built by Ezra and Nehemiah were destroyed by the Romans in August of the year 70 in the Common Era, scattering the people of Judea and commencing the Jewish exile from the Holy Land. According to the Talmud in Tractate Tanit, the destruction of the Second Temple began on the 9th of Av, and the temple continued to burn throughout the 10th of Av, although the fire diminished at noon on the 10th. The fourth event is the Romans crushed the Bar Kokhba revolt and destroyed the city of Beitar, killing over 100,000 Jewish fighters on July 8th in the year 132 of the Common Era. The fifth event. Following the Bar Kokhba revolt, the Roman commander Turmus Rufus plowed the site of the temple and the surrounding area in 133 of the Common Era. There is a relationship between these five events and the five restrictions that we discussed above. And these five restrictions relate to the five worlds. Other calamities that occurred on this same date in different years. Tisha B'Av has also come to be used as a date of mourning for other events that happened on different dates as well. The First Crusade officially commenced on August 15, 1096, killing 10,000 Jews in its first month and destroying Jewish communities in France and in the Rhineland. A grand total of 1.2 million Jews were killed by this crusade that started on the 9th of Av. The Jews were expelled from England on July 25th, 1290, also the 9th of Av. The Jews were expelled from France on July 21st, 1306, also the 9th of Av. the Jews were expelled from Spain on July 31st, 1492, which was the 8th and 9th of Av. This was also the launch date for Christopher Columbus, searching for the route to the east. The result was the revealment of the Americas, which proved to be the saving of the Jewish world after the Shoah. Thus, we can see the dual energy of Tisha B'Av as being the birth date of Mashiach. On August 2, 1941, SS Commander Heinrich Himmler formally received approval from the Nazi Party for the final solution on the 9th of Av. Almost 50% of the Jews on the face of the earth were captured and killed at that time. On the 9th of Av, in 1942, July 23rd, the mass deportation began of Jews from the Warsaw Ghetto en route to the concentration camp Treblinka. Most religious communities used Tisha B'Av to mourn the 6 million Jews who perished in the Holocaust, including special keynote composed for this purpose. This is in contradistinction to the secular Holocaust memorial days in the Hebrew month of Iyar. On the 10th of Av, two events took place. AMIA, bombing of the Jewish Community Center in Buenos Aires, took place, killing 85 and injuring 300. On Monday, July 18, 1994, the 10th of Av, and this was done in the morning. And the second event is Israel's unilateral disengagement plan evicted 8,000 Israelis from Gaza. To understand the relationship between the 9th and 10th days of Av, we need to understand the cycle and dates of the destruction of the temples. On the 10th day of Tevet, the walls of Jerusalem were surrounded by the armies of Nebuchadnezzar. 18 months later, on the 17th day of Tammuz, the walls of Jerusalem were pierced by the army of Nebuchadnezzar. 3 weeks later, on the 9th of Av, the walls of the temple were pierced, and the fire started to burn the temple at noon on the 10th of Av. This was the sign that the tribe of Judah would not be destroyed, since Hashem allowed his house to be burned instead of the people. The Kabbalistic understanding of this day, Tisha B'Av. The Kabbalists wear white on this day since they consider it a holiday. It is the birth date of Mashiach, and there is no destruction of the temple. This world is an illusion. In the reality world, the temple was never built by man. It was always waiting to be built by Hashem when he determines the time is right. A true Kabbalist can see the temple already in this physical world. At the same time, he sees the illusion of the current structures that are in its place. The Kabbalist does not mourn the destruction of the temple. He mourns the issue that the temple has not yet been revealed in Jerusalem. He awaits that revelation and celebrates the day of its coming. That is the metaphorical relationship to the birth date of Mashiach. There are five chapters in the Scroll of Echa, Lamentations. Each of these chapters follows the order of the Aleph Bet. the last chapter appears not to follow the alphabet order. These five chapters relate to the worlds. Since Malchut is not yet cleansed, the order of the alphabet is not followed, but only in the illusion. Yet it is actually being followed by those who can see through the illusion. There is much to be learned from this day and its relationship to the holiday that comes 6 days later, called Tu B'Av, which will begin next Sunday night. Not tonight, but a week from tonight. And will be manifested during the day on Monday. Which is August 8th. This is the end of our handout, but I wish to stress the understanding of Tisha B'Av from a Kabbalistic standpoint. Tisha B'Av has mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, within it. That mourning is the fact that the third temple has not yet been built. But to appreciate that mourning, again, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, one needs to feel the loss that the temple isn't in our physical world yet. And to do that, we have to understand what is the energy of the third temple. The energy of the third temple takes four distinct parashas in the Torah. So in a few minutes, it's not possible for me of little words and more words than I probably should say ever. It's difficult to truly get across to another person what a student of Kabbalah like myself or a true Kabbalist feels representing the loss of this temple not being built. The temple brings us closer to Hashem without a lot of effort. On a physical movement level, it's not a lot of effort. But on a spiritual level, on a consciousness level, it's a complete change of attitude. One allows what is described in the Talmud as a spirit of folly to enter them and take control of their body from their soul. And they do a mistake. They do a sin. What takes place in the process of the temple's offerings is a restoring of that consciousness desire to be closer to Hashem. And it is a return to that level where you feel Hashem close to you. As I said, it's difficult to get across in words what this meaning is. I have taught many different aspects of meditation over the years, primarily in my class on the Sefer Yetzirah. But in all these meditative techniques, I have essentially said to you, within your meditation, speak to the letters. Speak to the Sephirot. Ask them questions. Listen for their answers. Come to understand their essences from themselves. And now I'm going to say to you, on Tisha B'Av, meditate as you listen to the scroll of Echa, which we will read as a community Monday night in our 7 o'clock class. Read the scroll of Echa, but meditate. Bring the temple's essence, the temple's consciousness into your meditation and talk to it. Ask it questions. Learn its essence. Learn what the temple is. Not was, not past tense, but is today to a student of Kabbalah. What it is today to the Kabbalist. You can only find this out through questions. And you can only receive answers to these questions in your level of meditation. Now I ask you, does anyone have a question? I'm going to unmute the phones so that you can ask those questions. While I'm waiting for you to ask your questions or formulate your questions, I'll describe the classes for today that are left that we will continue with. One is at 1:30 West Coast time, and all of the times I will mention are West Coast times. One is at 1:30 West Coast time is a Tikkun Rachel. At 3 o'clock West Coast time, we will continue our normal Sunday study of Tuv Ha'aretz, the goodness of the land of Israel. Monday at 4:30, we will have a mini Zohar class. And at 7 o'clock, we will have an Echa reading. The Book of Lamentations will be read as a community. Please provide your own candle in your own location, and we will discuss many things. There will be no study Tuesday afternoon of the Zohar, nor will there be a class on Tuesday evening. Our next class will be Wednesday at 4:30, which will be a mini Zohar class. And at 7 o'clock, we will have our normal questions and answers. Thursday at 4:30, we will have Advanced Reincarnation class, and at 7 o'clock, a continuation of our Zohar class from last night, which can be found on our recordings link, which can be found within the frame of the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. next Saturday, the reading of Ayat Hanan, we will have a Kabbalah third meal ritual conference call at 6 o'clock, and at 7 o'clock, a Zohar class in the Parasha of Ekev. And next Sunday, we will discuss Ba'av that will take place that night. And we will begin our preparation for the holidays of Elul, the month of Elul, and the Tishrei holidays. Are there any questions? Shalom to all. I wish you an easy fast. I remind you that there is a meditation for an easy fast that I recommend you use. And I hope you have a good week with much peace and serenity.
You too.
Did someone want to ask a question that I was speaking in that I thought I heard someone?
No, I was just wishing you a good week too.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Shalom to all.
Shalom.